You're listening to E-Commerce Fastlane, episode 51.
Welcome to E-Commerce Fastlane, the podcast show to help you build, launch, grow, and scale a wildly successful e-commerce company. Listen to real conversations with proven practical strategies and success stories. Learn how to generate more traffic, more sales, more profit, and customer lifetime value for your Shopify store. And now, your host and e-commerce entrepreneur, Steve Hutt.
This episode is brought to you by Omnisend, makers of sophisticated omnichannel marketing automation tools for sales-driven Shopify brands and marketers that have outgrown generic email marketing platforms. Engage your customers and boost your e-commerce sales with dynamic emails, text messages, web push notifications, Facebook Messenger, and retargeting ads on Google and Facebook. So it's much more than just email marketing. They handle all of your marketing activities across multiple channels, all from within one platform. They have single-click Shopify integration, which also includes email templates and automatic product import from Shopify. Super easy migration from any other email solution that you might be currently using. And right now, Omnisend is offering a 14-day free trial for all of my listeners, which also includes 50% off for the first 3 months. So check them out, ecommercefastlane.com/Omnisend, and use the coupon code Fastlane when you sign up. Hey there, it's Steve, and welcome back to the E-Commerce Fastlane podcast. Now, if this is your first time listening, this is an e-commerce show where we have honest and transparent conversations about building and thriving online with your store powered by Shopify or Shopify Plus. Now, new episodes are available each week with your favorite podcast player through iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify. Or you can also sign up online at ecommercefastlane.com and be notified when a new show is being released. Now, today I'm chatting with Jordan Gall, who is the founder and CEO of Carthook. And he's going to talk about how you can maximize your conversion rate and grow your average order value, don't we all, through a very special checkout and funnel solution they have. It's very, very unique. What it does is it allows you complete control over the entire checkout process with your Shopify store. So instead of using Shopify's default checkout flow, and you get some extra advantages, I think, when you're on Shopify Plus, getting access to the checkout.liquid template. But for those on Core, you don't get access to any of that. And so the idea here is that they allow you to customize a one-page checkout to kind of increase your store's conversion rate, like I mentioned. And it also gives you like a one-click post-purchase upsell. So someone's made a decision to buy something and now they get access to other products and increasing the average basket size. It's pretty cool what we're going to talk about today. So it's a compelling solution. It's hundreds, if not thousands of people, I'm sure we'll get into it, are using it on Shopify or Shopify Plus. So let's jump into the show and learn more. So hi, Jordan. Welcome to E-Commerce Fastlane.
Steve, thank you very much for having me on. It's great to be here.
My pleasure. I've been wanting to chat with you for quite some time. I know we've had some challenges kind of syncing our calendars, and there's been some sickness, and there's been some hardware problems and all that kind of fun stuff. I'm glad all of that is finally resolved. And because I do see your solution come up quite a bit, there's been quite a few case studies that I've read that's wanted to get you on to kind of completely understand from a founder's perspective is that, why are you building this and the successes that have come out of building a solution and how it's iterated over time. So let's maybe talk on a high level first for those that don't know what Carthook is. Let us know kind of what problem does it solve for Shopify brands and store owners?
Sure. And you did quite a good job of explaining what we do. Okay. So I'll commend you on that because it can be difficult because what we're doing, like you said, is relatively unique. It's not a well-understood category just yet, though we're right. Working on that. The way I put it is we want to give marketers complete control of the funnel while allowing the business to remain on what we see as the best e-commerce platform in the market, and that's Shopify. So really, the pitch we want to make to a brand is this gives you more marketing power while keeping your technology the same as it always has been. And going, you know, one level further into detail on the funnel, what we see right now is we see a lot of marketers making compromises because they're trapped within the framework of a theme and a store and product pages that all look the same and so on. And we want to unshackle them to be able to control every pixel of the funnel from the time someone clicks an ad and hits a page all the way through to the thank you page.
So let's talk about you then, your journey. I mean, it's just like a founder story is always quite unique, and it's always exciting to be able to dig into that and, you know, what kind of uniquely positions you to, you know, have the desire to build a solution like this. So let's talk about that entrepreneurial journey and maybe even leading up to launching CardHook.
Sure. And in many ways, what we're doing now is really what I wanted to exist in the market many years ago. So if I'll take a few steps back, I grew up in a classic immigrant entrepreneur household. My family came over from Israel when I was six, and I watched my father as an entrepreneur growing up. So when you kind of get indoctrinated into that version of things, ends up being the only path for you. I tried to get a job once. I worked as a banker on Wall Street. It lasted exactly 1 year and I ran away screaming.
Yeah.
And then I've done a bunch of different businesses since then. But the one that is most closely related to CardHook, before CardHook, I was a dropshipper. I started a dropshipping e-commerce business. This is back in the days of Google AdWords, no Facebook, no Instagram ads, none of that. And we were running on Volusion. And we started off as drop shippers, and then we ended up carrying inventory. And that was kind of like a whirlwind 14 months or so. We kind of did not know what we were doing the first month, and went from 400 a month up to 800 a month, and then a few thousand dollars a month, and then 20,000, 40,000, 80,000. And it started to work as we started to learn more about e-commerce and conversion optimization and traffic and so on. We ended up selling the business off after 14 months, and it was not a life-changing outcome, but what I call it is a career-changing outcome. What it happened was it made me fall in love with e-commerce and just get super into the geeky side of conversion optimization, and that's what led up to CardHook. CardHook started 4 years ago as a very simple cart abandonment app, and that came about by after the sale of the e-commerce business. I wanted to get into software but stay in e-commerce. I just looked at the list of apps that we were using and identified a cart abandonment app as it was a perfect ratio of terrible product with great ROI. So yeah. this thing was terrible but it made us thousands of dollars every month, so we would never cancel it. And I said to myself, I want to be in that position. So what happens if we build an actually decent version of a cart abandonment app? That sounds like a good place to be. And that's how CardHook got started.
Very interesting. I had no idea that I know the Tel Aviv market in Israel is, I'd say, a pretty massive tech startup hub and community, you know, yes, with Yotpo there and many others. And it's so interesting that you came from those roots.
Yes, there's a fantastic book called Startup Nation. If anyone's ever curious or wants to dig into the reason Israel, this tiny little country, comes out with so much technical innovation, this book kind of gets into a lot of the reasoning behind it and how the military plays it and culture and so on.
Awesome. I'll make sure I add that to the show notes for sure. I've heard of the book. I've not read it myself. I'll certainly add it to my rotation for sure. Let's talk. I'm going to get more generally first, and then I'm going to get into some specifics about CardHook. And I think that's, you know, the crux of the show. It is a marketing show, and people are really looking for, you know, as I said in the intro, the kind of what's the insider tip or hack or app or absolutely solution that we can help people. That's the bottom line, is how can we increase revenue for people and lifetime value? In your case, even average order size and all that kind of stuff. So what general problem are you trying to solve with CardHook?
Sure. So to continue on with the story that I started there, it makes a lot of sense to just continue on, and that leads into exactly the problem that we're solving. So we started off as a cart abandonment app. What that sets you up to do is effectively stare at checkout pages all day. So that's what I did for about 2 years. When we went to integrate with Shopify, we realized, you know, there really isn't that much customization available. I bet people would find a lot of value in a customizable one-page checkout for Shopify. So that's what we launched. And now that's our main product. Right. So when we launched the one-page checkout for Shopify, as soon as we did that, the market just started yelling at us that what they wanted was not just customization over the checkout, but also post-purchase upsells. Right. And so the problem that we're after is initially control and optimization over the checkout page. And then alongside that, the post-purchase upsells, they help to maximize average order value. So all of those are in the service of maximizing revenue per visitor, return on ad spend. It's just how many dollars can you get in revenue for the efforts that you're putting in, whether it's paid traffic, organic traffic, email traffic, or so on.
So how are you solving this problem then? So this is the problem. And so let's talk about the platform itself, how it solves the problem.
Yes. So in many ways, what we want to do is we want to be a bit subservient to the marketer. We believe that the marketers know what they want to do. And right now, they're just not able to accomplish it because the e-commerce platforms, Shopify included, the way they were built, they coupled the front end and the back end very tightly. So the back end with your apps and your integrations and your order information, your customer information, and so on, is very, very tightly coupled to the theme and the shopper experience and the pages that shoppers are actually clicking on. And what we want to do is we want to unbundle those and give much more freedom to the marketer. And so the way we're doing that is we are handing over as much control as possible. So for example, the checkout page, it's one page, that's great. But the most important part is that it's extremely customizable. You can put JavaScript, you can change CSS, HTML. You can do what you want with your checkout page that's right for your brand. You can make it look a certain way, behave a certain way, include trust symbols. You can optimize it so that it's right for your brand. Yep, that's on the checkout side. And then the post-purchase upsells, this is where things get interesting. It is worth taking a second and explaining what a post-purchase upsell is instead of just assuming that everyone understands it.
Yeah, good idea.
Yes. So a post-purchase upsell, the aim is to increase the average order value. It's similar to what Amazon did with their You May Also Like feature. So Amazon's You May Also Like feature takes a look at what you have in your cart and says, hey, this might make sense for you to buy at the same time. Now, that's good, but it does present a problem in that it asks the shopper to make an additional buying decision while they're in the middle of a purchase decision. And that's dangerous.
Right.
Now, Amazon, not really that worried about you coming back. They're pretty sure you're coming back to Amazon.
Yeah, definitely.
But if you're a brand on Shopify and you're not nationally known, you do want to be more careful. You don't want to introduce friction into the buying process. So what we did with that upsell is we put it behind the checkout page. What that means is the shopper can go through a normal purchase experience. They add something to their cart, they go to the checkout page, they put in their information, their payment info, and they hit buy. In a normal e-commerce transaction that we're all used to, the next thing you see after doing that is a confirmation page, a thank you page.
Right.
What we've done is we've given power to the merchant to add additional pages between the checkout and the thank you page that make offers. And the key is that these offers, because we are reusing the payment token from the checkout page, in order to accept these upsell offers, the shopper does not need to re-enter their payment info. It's very, very frictionless. It's just one click. They just hit buy, especially on a phone. It's extremely easy. And what that does is two things. First, it moves that friction over to the other side of the checkout, so you're not endangering the initial purchase. The second thing it does, the part that I think is more interesting, is that it allows the merchant to determine which upsell offers you want to show a shopper based on what they purchased, which makes the offer very congruent. So if you're buying, let's use a real life example. One of our favorite merchants is Native Deodorant. So big direct-to-consumer brand, getting pretty well known. They're very smart about their marketing. What they do is when you buy something, let's say I'm going to buy a men's eucalyptus deodorant bar. Okay. In the post-purchase upsell, they're going to offer me a travel version of the men's eucalyptus deodorant bar. So it makes perfectly congruent sense. The truth is it's actually adding value to my experience.
Can I add something to that? So as far as the post-purchase upsell and making the decision on which products that you would like to reveal, so to speak, to the customer. So you're right, using your example of Native Deodorant. So they have the men's eucalyptus, and I guess the brand owner has made a decision specifically selling this product, please upsell this product. And so that's maybe more of like a manual process. Is there technology available for the solution to automatically know, either natively or through third-party connections, to dynamically render an upsell or a cross-sell, so to speak, after the transaction of recommended product. Like, there's certain SKUs work well together with each other. And instead of the merchandiser having to manually configure every possible configuration, I'm thinking supplement company, for example, where I got one that has like 5,000 SKUs, but there is some history available in order data to know that if you're buying vitamin D, you're probably getting the calcium too.
Absolutely. And that's where things are heading. Right now it's manually configurable. Now, it's done by the merchant that has a lot of qualitative and quantitative information on hand. They are able to say, okay, this specific product, I'm going to go into CartHook, I'm going to build an upsell funnel that has product X as the upsell. If they say no to that, I'll do a different product on the downsell, maybe an additional upsell after that. And then I'm going to take that funnel that has a tag associated with it, and I'm going to go into Shopify and add that same tag to products that I want to lead into that upsell funnel. So you have a lot of granular control, but right now it's still manual. The direction that we're heading in is more machine-based, where an algorithm can look at historical data and tweak the upsell funnels based on what's being purchased, at what level, at how much, and location. So the way we put it is we have to earn our way there. Right now, we're still building out the features that people want between integrations and templates and so on. But where we're heading into is that very machine-based optimization.
I can see that for the merchandising side too, because there's some, you know, great kind of manual merchandising options on a website, but there's also some machine learning kind of AI type, you know, integrations, understanding the buyer's journey throughout the website and what they're clicking and viewing, and then starting through widgets, being able to show certain products literally to the right customer at the right time based on their viewing habits in that session, or even anonymously over time. There's even some ways of tracking people anonymously, they haven't even bought anything yet, but they're still creating a personalized experience. So it's interesting that you know, maybe your roadmap is considering that in the future. But in the short term, I see the benefits in being very specific, because maybe you do want to create a specific funnel for a specific product that's in the cart, because you know what needs to happen from an upsell to a downsell.
Right now, where we focus is the fact that it's currently not possible to do, and using our software, it is possible. Like, that's the biggest leap. And then optimizing it, making it amazing, that's kind of our job as a company to continue improving on that front.
Very cool. Very cool.
And it is working. We did $35 million worth of upsells last year. And so that's right, $35 million for our merchants that they weren't able to do beforehand.
Well, that's awesome. I love big GMV numbers like that. So it's pretty exciting. Yeah, so let's talk about these merchants. Sure. Like, I mean, you have like a whole list of merchants. I mean, I've gone to the website, I've seen them, and I've done my own research and stuff. And, you know, some want to remain anonymous for kind of, you know, their own reasons. Just they don't want to give away the secret sauce. But of the ones that have, you know, that I see the case studies on the website, let's dig into some examples for listeners today about how people are actually successfully using CartHook.
Sure. And this is one of the incredible things about a podcast, that you can kind of get into these explanations. And that's why I really appreciate you having me on the show. It's very difficult to express exactly what we're trying to do and what we want merchants to see as possible over a website. It really is. Most people don't read that much, and video is hard to produce and so on. So this type of conversation is amazing. So what I want to highlight in this opportunity is a specific technique that's used by merchants of ours, such as Kettle and Fire, Natural Stacks, Organifi, KinoBody. So if you're familiar with those brands, they are very marketing-driven merchants. They really know what they're doing on the marketing front. And a lot of these marketing techniques actually are coming over from the digital marketing world and now making their way into the physical product world, right? We're not the first people to come up with post-purchase upsells. We're just one of the very first ones to introduce it into the physical product space. And so one of the big techniques over the past few years in the digital marketing world is selling through a funnel. So Kettle and Fire, Natural Stacks, Organifi, those types of companies, they use our product in a very specific way. And that is selling through a funnel. And what I mean by that is when they run paid traffic, when they have a Facebook ad or an Instagram ad and the merchant clicks on it, they don't want that, the shopper clicks on an ad. They don't want that shopper going into their store. They want them going to a landing page that's very specifically aimed at the product that was being advertised. So let's think of digital for a second. If I was going to promote a webinar, I would not send people to my homepage that had a section on it about the webinar. I would send them to a landing page that made the decision binary. You either sign up for the webinar or you're not interested and you hit the back button. So a lot of that has started to make its way into the physical product space, and we want to help accelerate it. So these merchants are creating landing pages that don't have any distraction. No header, no footer, no navigation, just a focus on doing a lot of work to sell the product. Features, explanations, copy, videos, testimonials, and so on. And then the decision is binary. Either click on, in which case it goes directly into the cart hook checkout and upsells and thank you page. And then the order still goes into Shopify. So the best way I've come to explain it is a hub and spoke approach. Your store is necessary. That's not going anywhere. You need it for your organic traffic, your email traffic, your returning customers, your PR, and so on. But when you're spending $5 a click, our argument is that you should not be sending that traffic to a product page inside of your Shopify store that you really don't have that much control over. You can't just grab a product page and drag and drop and make it look exactly the way you want to look. And you definitely can't just remove all the header and footer and so on. So we think that paid traffic should go to a landing page. That landing page goes directly to a checkout page, upsell page, and thank you page. And so that's a spoke. And so some of these customers that I was mentioning before, they have dozens, sometimes hundreds of these funnels. So they have it's a bit of a strange concept. You can literally have 300 different checkout pages all for the same Shopify store. So,
I see.
Right. So they're running an ad that goes to a landing page. So that landing page is completely under their control. It's either built in whatever software they want, WordPress, Unbounce, ClickFunnels, whatever, or in Cardhook itself. But they have complete control over every pixel of that page. That goes to a checkout page that is only specific to this funnel. So you know if you're advertising for this bag of coffee, that the landing page is for the bag of coffee. You also know that the checkout page is for that bag of coffee. The only people that will ever see it are people who are interested in that bag of coffee. So you can tailor the checkout page itself to the specific product that's being advertised. And then the same with the upsells, same with the thank you page, right? So we've seen people do promotions with YouTube influencers. The landing page has the YouTube star making a video talking about the product. And the thank you page also has a video saying thank you from that YouTube star. So it's a very congruent experience. And like I said, it gives 100% control over every pixel to the marketer. And at the same time, the tech team doesn't need to change anything in their Shopify store.
I can see the influencer side because it's such a massive topic right now. And I can see how that could build a lot of trust and authority. You know, I've had recent conversations with merchants that say, hey, you know, we're signing up influencers as we speak right now. And we're trying to figure out how we can have custom branded landing pages for their efforts. And this sounds like a really great solution for those instead of maybe just getting some kind of a website builder like Shogun or something, for example, to build landing pages from within. This is actually, you know, at the end of the day, it's not a brand campaign. This is like, I need to sell stuff campaign.
Yes.
I'm an influencer. I'm getting a slice of the pie or being paid a chunk of change to get this out into their network. And if they're going to hit a landing page, then I can see the benefits of Cardhook and really focusing on, as you said, no header, no footer. Let's get to the meat and potatoes of creating video, great text, social proof, reviews, testimony, like all that. So anything you need to get people not to get distracted. And then, like you said, it's binary. It's like either you're in or you're out.
So we think it's better for all parties, right? The influencer gets their own real estate and that makes them feel unique because it is unique to them. Mm-hmm. The shopper gets a better experience because from where they see the initial mention of the product all the way through the thank you page is congruent. And then, of course, our aim is that the merchant themselves are getting better ROI. Yeah. Right now, what it comes down to is right now in e-commerce, you have your Instagram ads, Facebook ads, YouTube ads, email, and it's all going to the same product page. And that, in our opinion, does not make sense. And we think it can perform better with landing pages. And if that's the case, then it will inevitably drift in that direction. So we want to accelerate it because we have the checkout built that can handle it.
Well, it's very clear that with Kettle and Fire and Natural Stacks and Organifi and others and stuff, those are, you know, at least public case studies that, in fact, your solution is very effective and they've chosen to continue using it because they like that opportunity of being able to create a branded experience. And really, when they're sending top of funnel acquisition type traffic, like net new visitors to a site, to an offer, they need to have some tight control over all of that. And so that's great that this is the solution that they have chosen to use, and it's working. So let's talk about the ease of use, because that's my other little question that I, you know, was just thinking atop my head now. Someone gets involved with CartHook and they add it to their store, and we'll talk about how people can get involved with it a little later in the show. But is the ease of use there as far as, is it a blank slate? Like, how are we connecting things? And I'm trying to just get an overall scope of what people, like, what do they have to do when they connect it to their store?
So
now,
it has to be both in e-commerce these days. It has to be easy to use and also very extendable for engineers to play with. So that it makes our job hard, but there's no choice. So e-commerce people in general, like myself, are not really technical. They're more business people than they are technical. I mean, they're running their business on top of the internet, sure, but it's not software. It's not engineering. And so it needs to be drag and drop. And, you know, our solution is just a private Shopify app. You just hit click and you're done. And then we have everything set up for you so you don't have to do anything. We have the checkout. We have the upsell templates. It's all there and done for you. If you don't want to change anything, you just get started and go. At the same time, right, some of our bigger merchants, they require a different level of control. So we have things like GitHub integration for your scripts so they can keep version control. We have HTML and CSS access and integrations with different platforms. So you have to have both these days. It needs to be easy to use, but it also needs to accomplish what the business needs to accomplish. And where we are generally aimed is toward that larger Shopify merchant or Shopify Plus merchants. And we love to work with the sophisticated merchants that have challenges, and we like to be a partner in solving those challenges.
I guess so. The way I'm taking it is that if you're more in the kind of early stage and you're trying to differentiate your brand, you've got a little bit of traction, there's really no reason to not want to try CartHook as a potential opportunity to increase lift and lifetime value and just average order size, just to at least try it with the built-in templates that are there, if you don't have the creative ability at this point or the desire or the knowledge to be able to have that control and exercise that right, I guess, or that ability from within the solution. So that would be the entry-level people, but you're saying people in the mid-market to enterprise on Plus side, then they've got full flexibility to do whatever they want to do based on the brand.
Yes, and what we find, and it makes sense, the larger the merchant, the more careful they need to be. Right? This is not a trivial piece of technology. It is their checkout page. So there's a certain amount of risk. Yeah. And Shopify is an amazing platform. Their checkout is kind of amazing too. It works everywhere on every device and in every situation. It has a million integrations with different payment providers and so on. So they're rightfully hesitant. Our challenge is to both increase the conversion rate and increase the order value. If we can do that, then we win and it's like a giant clear win. But it's not always the case. So we have to be careful and we fully understand the risk that people are taking when you're doing, you know, $100,000 a day in revenue. To change over your checkout is a big deal. So we take our time and make sure things are set up properly before launching big merchants. And a lot of them actually like to start off with what we call the product funnels, which is that hub and spoke approach. That way they're taking some of their paid campaigns and running traffic in that direction. And so it's a test to see results before swapping out their main checkout page on their Shopify store.
I see. So I had no idea that was an opportunity then. So you could do separate campaigns only through paid ads, through a funneled kind of a checkout flow through CartHook, and then regular people that just happen to be perusing the site that didn't, you know, organically they came word of mouth. However, they just go to the regular product page and add to cart and checkout, yes, ordinarily, right, like they would. So we're in 2019 right now. We're just kind of getting into the second quarter. And so let's talk about kind of where you think e-commerce is going.
So the way I look at it is there's an enormous amount of opportunity in e-commerce. These are good days for the e-commerce market. With that said, it's getting more challenging. There's more and more money. There's VCs are now focused all of a sudden on e-commerce merchants, right? The direct-to-consumer world really blew up over the past few years, and that has a lot of attention and a lot of very skilled people aimed at it and a lot of money aimed at it, and that's driving up ad costs, and it's more difficult to succeed. It's easier than ever to start, but it is difficult to succeed. And so that focus on advertising costs and return on ad spend and average order value, all that, I think that's a big driver for a lot of what's happening. Just the fact that advertising costs are going up has this trickle effect all over the place on what software to use and what to focus on and which channels and where people are spending their ad dollars. So I think that's like a defining trend of 2019 is you can't just throw up Facebook ads and run traffic to a product page and start making money. It's not that simple. And the other thing that I see in 2019 is that, and this is similar to the software world where I kind of live, everything's easier when you have an audience. So the clearest example is Shopify's shining star of Kylie Jenner. She is a media company that sells physical products. And that attention is so incredibly valuable. So we think of something like Glossier also, audience first. In the software world, when you have an audience and a following, the next product you launch, you already have a built-in audience to sell to, and people support you and love you and help talk about you to the market. E-commerce is starting to get similar, where the ideal scenario is media first to have the audience, and then you can kind of sell them anything. And so I'm going to give an example that might seem a little weird, but hear me out. I was on my couch a few weeks ago. You know how Netflix does that thing now where you scroll and it just starts playing but without you touching anything? It's quite annoying, actually. So yeah. I put Netflix in. I'm not paying attention. So I'm on my laptop, and what starts playing is a Taylor Swift concert. At some point, Netflix had like a live show of a Taylor Swift concert. So, I mean, Taylor Swift's awesome. It's just probably not what I would choose to watch on Netflix. So I just left it on because she's very charismatic and entertaining. What I saw when they panned out to the crowd, I saw a crowd of people, an audience of fans that would effectively buy anything she sold them. And it made me think of the e-commerce world in the same way. If you have that audience, you have a much easier time selling products. So those are the things I see in 2019. Advertising costs going up and the value of an engaged audience going up as well.
Great, great tips, great feedback. And that's a great case study. That's I would totally agree with you on that. That's one of the things that I talk about quite a few to the merchants that I have an opportunity to work with, is that, you know, what's the size of your list or your social following? And let's build that up, because that is a value that needs to be leveraged through automation and through just overall building a brand. And so, you know, I have some merchants that are sitting on a million email addresses, and I'm surprised that they do less than $100,000 a month on a million email addresses. It's shocking to me when that should be their largest revenue driving channel, and it's not. And so I find that quite interesting. And so it sounds like, just in the age of complexity and in the age now of how many brands there are, these direct to consumer brands, and like you said, with VC money that's floating around, people are really and smart people are really behind this product. So it sounds like Carthook is kind of positioning itself. I can bring it back, is that, listen, you know, we have these built in templates. We have some flexibility to be able to expand upon that based on if you have the skill set to be able to do that. You know, it's certainly worth a test to, if you are sending cold traffic to a product that obviously has gained some traction in the market, you're trying to get incremental traffic, then it sounds like creating proper funnels and proper landing pages with your solution and a proper checkout flow with an upsell and a downsell, all part of, and not, as you said, don't interrupt the flow. Let them complete the purchase with that session. And then, as you said, with a token, you're able to allow people to add on to the product. I think it's a really interesting and compelling solution. So I just wanted to give you kudos. I think it's very interesting and unique, and I'm glad there's lots of success.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate that. I want to say thank you for having me on also, and thank you to everyone listening out there.
Absolutely. So how can people learn more about the CartHook solution?
So carthook.com, that's the best way to get oriented on what we're doing. There's a video up top there that explains a lot more. There's some digging into the feature specifically. And then there are a bunch of case studies on the site also, which I think help people view the solution in context, right? Here's software. That's cool. But how are people actually using it? That's what the case studies are good for. I'm at Jordan Gall on Twitter if anyone wants to get in touch. And then we set up a page also for listeners of e-commerce Fastlane at carthook.com/e-commerce Fastlane. And then you'll get an offer for $100 off the first month of service.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you kindly for that. I really appreciate it. I'll make sure the show notes are updated. I will redirect also ecommercefastlane.com/carthook. It'll redirect that landing page to take Jordan up on that offer. But at least go and watch the videos, go and listen to and watch read the case studies from Natural Stacks. And I think there's Kettle of Fires up and Organifi, even Bomb Tech Golf, another direct-to-consumer golf brand that's just massively crushing it. I think Tyler Sullivan,
that's right, Sully.
I believe, is the owner. I see. Yeah, Sully. I see him quite a bit. I think he was interviewed a little while back on the unofficial Shopify podcast with Kurt Elster. And I think he was part of the build, I believe, of that site. And it's pretty interesting. And I know he's obviously using your solution and very, very happy. I think whenever he brings out a new product, from what I recall, he builds a custom funnel solution for like a new driver or a new iron.
And he focuses the attention with the landing page. So he'll email his list and get them excited about a new product coming out. And then when it drops, when it finally launches, he pushes that traffic to a landing page that then leads directly into the CartHook checkout page. And I need to give a shout out to Sully for being customer number one at CartHook. Literally number one from the Cart Abandonment app 4 years ago. He was customer number one. Awesome.
Wow. Okay. That's awesome. So that's really cool. Thanks again, Jordan, for coming on the show. Massively educational. I think there's a lot of miseducation about what your solution does. And I like now I have like complete clarity on what it is that you do, why you do it, success that you're getting now. So kudos to you and the team, and best of luck in the future. And
thank you very much. I love your show. I wish shows like this existed back when I ran my store. So congratulations on it. Thank you for it. Thank you for having me on. Thanks, everybody.
You're welcome. Take care. This episode was brought to you by Omnisend, makers of sophisticated omnichannel marketing automation tools for sales-driven Shopify brands that have outgrown generic email marketing platforms. Engage your customers and boost your e-commerce sales with dynamic emails, text messages, web push notifications, Facebook Messenger, and retargeting ads on Facebook and Google, all from one platform. Try Omnisend for free for 14 days. Check them out, ecommercefastlane.com/Omnisend, and use the coupon code Fastlane when you sign up. Well, that's it for today's episode. I'd like to thank you, a loyal listener of eCommerce Fastlane. It's my hope that this podcast is offering you a ton of value through growth strategies, tactics, and exclusive insider tips on the best Shopify apps and marketing platforms, all with my personal goal to help you build, launch, grow, and scale with Shopify. Thanks for investing some time today and listening to the show. I'm so proud and excited that you have a growth mindset and are a constant learner. I truly appreciate you and your entrepreneurial journey. Enjoy the rest of the week and keep thriving with Shopify.